So I was a high school student, really growing in my faith, discovering new things in the Bible and that God was teaching me, and reading these passages of Scripture where Jesus says, have faith, ask God for what you need, and if you just, the mountain, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains, And I'm like, well, God heals and God does these great things. And so, at the time, I had a pimple or something on my arm. Not like a, junior high zit kind of a pimple, but just something that had been there for a little while and wasn't like a rash or anything nasty. Don't worry, we're not going to have like the TMI health, thing from the pastor here, but just, something kind of there and wasn't going away. And of course, I'm not going to go to the doctor. I'm a guy after all. And so I was like, well, God said he heals. And so I prayed and said, God, I pray. I don't know what this is in my arm, but I pray that you would heal it. And then in this moment of, maybe it was foolishness or just kind of the recklessness of youth. I took a ballpoint pen and I circled it. And I said, God, I pray that by the time the ink has just kind of worn off my skin, that this, whatever it is, will be gone. And so I didn't take a shower for 3 weeks. And no, I just went about my day just like I normally would. And wouldn't you know, in about 4 or 5 days, the ink was gone, and so was the little pimple thing. Gone. My skin is regular, clear, like it had never been there before. I thought, wow, God, that's awesome. You did just like you said you would. And for me, that was a major faith-building moment right there. It was like, well, like the scripture that we're going to start with today. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Matthew chapter 7, or open your iPad if you brought that with you, and swipe your way over to Matthew chapter 7. If you don't, I'll put them up on the screen, of course. But here we're gonna learn today again about prayer. And we're taking a few weeks to hear from God and to be taught about prayer. We talked a little bit last week about everybody's praying, but are we really praying right? Is there a right way to pray? And since Jesus said a lot about prayer, we're just kind of sitting at the feet of Jesus, asking Jesus to teach us how to pray and how to pray better. Last week, if you'll remember, if you were here, we talked about praying boldly, right? And we had this little story from Jesus that's really kind of a difficult story to understand, when Jesus says, I'm teaching you right now, I'm teaching you this so that you would pray and never give up. If you missed last week, we do have it online. You can find it on YouTube. You can find it on our website, ridgenaz.org. You can download it, watch it, lots of different formats to watch it, and check it out. But this week, we're gonna take it the next step. Again, we're going back to what Jesus said. And so in Matthew chapter 7, we hear some teaching of Jesus. So this morning, let's be taught by Jesus how to pray. And today we're going to discover how to pray boldly with confidence. So here we go. Matthew chapter 7, I'll start at verse 7 here. Jesus is teaching and he says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. You read that and you're like, wow, seems pretty simple. Seems pretty straightforward. Ask God for what you need, he'll give it to you. Knock on the door, Jesus opens the door, whatever you need, it's right there. Just ask him. Seems pretty simple. You probably were guessing already it's not that simple. God is a pretty complex God. But this is a good place to start. Because there are times in our lives when we discover, while God is complex, the whole prayer thing doesn't have to be complicated. What if we just be taught by Jesus? What if it's as simple as just asking, and then asking again, and asking again? So in these weeks when we're talking about prayer, I don't want to just learn about prayer, but we're actually gonna pray together before we go today, as we're gonna learn. But we're hearing some real life stories of how God powerfully answers prayer and the power of God that shows up in people's lives when God answers prayer. And so a couple of months ago, Pastor Don and our Primetimers sponsored the Primetimers Pastors Appreciation Lunch, and I got to meet Karen for the first time and hear Karen's story of God's healing power in her own life and the crazy journey that God has brought her through. And when I heard her story, I thought, we've got to share this with our church family. This is an exciting story of the power of God. So I want to introduce Karen to you and invite Karen to come to share what God's put on her own heart and the story that has led to all of this. And I want you to hear a story of God's power. So, Sharon?
Walk with me on my journey. In 1968, I married. 5 years of longing for a child, we had decided to adopt. Lisa, she was a beautiful 4-year-old biracial child. We became a family. Let's go further back. From the age of 13 until I was 52, I was blessed to have written a poem a day. I wrote poems about love, poems about issues. Racism is what I'll talk with you today about. On March 9th, 2003, I had a stroke. Life changed suddenly and dramatically. The stroke almost took my life. My right arm and hand were paralyzed. No more poetry. My memory and speech have also been critically affected. For over 6 years, I was unable to speak, read, or write. Then, it was 2009, I was still silent. At a Halloween party, a little black boy came running up to the porch, grabbed a handful of candy, then ran off. The host yelled, "Yeah, little black boy, bring my candy back." Everybody roared with laughter, except me. Racism, my brain flashed back into the world. Little black boy triggered memories of when I was 10 years old in Chicago. I was headed for the race riot. Folks looked like they were going to a celebration. They carried chairs and blankets and coolers. As I arrived, white people were all around shouting, "Black boy, go home! We don't want you here!" Then, looking through a window, a black boy, about 5 or 6, with tears running down his cheeks, I cried with him. I never forgot his tears. That was 1960. My mind switched to 1977. My husband, our adopted biracial daughter, and I were out for a drive. We stopped at a restaurant, seated ourselves by a window. When the waitress demanded we move to a table in the back, we refused. She was not going to serve us where we sat. The argument began between my husband and the waitress. Our little girl cried harder and harder. I put my arm around Lisa and asked, "Why are you crying?" "She hates me because my skin's black." I felt her pain, her suffering. I beg the Lord for something that will change people's hearts. How did you choose the colors, Lord, was what he gave me. But in 2009, my voice was gone. I begged the Lord, please give me my voice back so that I can stand against racism once again. Months passed. And with the Lord's help, I struggle to recite the poem written for my black daughter many years before. With every besieged breath, every word from my lips began to take shape. The poem began to come out. I've forgotten their name, but come forward. At this end. How did you choose the colors, Lord? Green grass and trees, black and yellow bumblebees, pale blue skies, deep blue rivers, oceans, and streams. Colors blending so beautifully. And as the sun sinks into the sea, orange against blue, colors chosen by you. Brown tree trunks, golden wheat and corn, wildflowers you adorn with majestic crown of every color. How did you choose the colors, Lord? The colors of our skin, white for me and black for her. It seems those are the only colors anyone would protest. Not the splendors of fall, not the spectrum in a raindrop. When will mankind stop and look around, see the sky and see the ground, see all the different color, and just let the color of skin blend in with everything else? Amen.
Thank you so much. May God bless you. Thank you so much.
So, Karen, you shared about how for 6 years you were silent and unable to talk and had no voice. Now you've had a chance to share this and other presentations. You're a member of Toastmasters at the silver level, which is a pretty significant accomplishment for someone who couldn't. You know, Heidi told us last night that when you first met Karen, she wasn't able to talk at all, just barely a mumble. And you prayed, and God did something amazing. Tell us about, and we, our church family, part of the story, we got to be a part of it, down in the Family Life Center with Pastor Lauren. Tell us about that.
Well, I couldn't talk, but the few words would come. Somebody would have to listen to me hard. But I was in the family center with Heidi, and a whole group around me, and Pastor Lauren come up, and he had some oil. He said, "Do you mind if I pray for you?" Yes. And he rubbed the oil and prayed for me. And here I am, maybe 6 years later, and I can talk. And I thank Pastor Lord for having faith in me and God. Thank you, Pastor.
God bless you. You know it was God, right?
Yes.
It wasn't my fault.
No.
Okay.
It wasn't.
Love you. God is good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. By the way, Karen's going to be right out at the table in the lobby. I encourage you to go talk to her, meet her. She has a book available that we had earlier, and ask her about that as well. But can we celebrate the power of God working in someone's life? This is the God we serve. So Jesus says, ask, knock, seek. Now, as he continues, he gives us a little insight of how it is that we can be so bold and audacious in asking for these things. So back to Matthew chapter 7, picking it up in verse 9, here's what we discover. Jesus keeps talking. He says, which of you, if your son asks you for a piece of bread, which of you will give him a stone? You wouldn't do that. Or if your son asks you for a fish, are you going to give him a snake? No. And he keeps on going. He says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So Jesus gives us an incredible insight here in how prayer works and how it is that we can be bold in prayer. He says, just take your own example in life, okay? And you know, we read that and he says, you know, if you are evil, and we hear that and we're like, I'm not evil. But you know, when I compare my parenting abilities and how I parent to God's incredible parenting abilities, I mean, I try my best to be a good father. He's like the perfect father. He says, take what you know. Even if you, as limited as you are, when your children ask you for something, you give good to them. How much more will your Father in heaven, who is the perfect father, what's he going to do when you ask? He will always give good gifts. And so here Jesus gives us a really incredible insight on how to pray and how to pray boldly. He says, take what you know about God and base your prayers on what you know about God. Well, let's keep going. A couple other things we find in the Bible, descriptions of who God is and how he acts. Check this out. Next slide there is... this is actually going to be in Isaiah chapter 48. I've got an error up here, but this is what it says, though. Here's what God says. My own hand laid the foundations of the earth. My right hand spread out the heavens. When I summon them, they all stand up together. Okay, again, sorry, there's a typo there. So if you're fact-checking me, which is always okay, that actually should say Isaiah 48, not Psalm. But regardless, that's what God says here. Do you hear what he says about himself? He says, my own hand laid the foundations of the earth. Now, in our scientific worldview, we kind of think, well, wait a second. The earth is like round. It doesn't sit on a foundation, so it's technically inaccurate. And God's like, look, when I wrote this several thousand years ago, the people then, I couldn't have told them about the earth being round. They totally wouldn't have understood that. They thought it was flat. So I just took what I had to work with, and I said, you know, this big, beautiful, incredible earth that you think is flat, we'll just go with that for the time being. Everything that is great and built always has a foundation. And you know that if you're going to build something wonderful, it's going to last. You build a solid foundation. And God's like, check this out. I am so great and I'm so wonderful that not only did I create the earth, but I created the foundation on which the whole thing like turns and spins and doesn't spin out of control. Here's what we learn about God from that. He's big. He's the master builder. And if somebody is big enough to create the earth, then he must be pretty big and pretty powerful and pretty strong and pretty capable. Hold that thought. Check out another verse of scripture that we find incredible description of God. From Daniel chapter 2, verse 21, Daniel's praising God and he says, God, referenced here, God changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and he raises up others. It's really easy for some people to kind of have a view of the world that God just kind of created the world, wonderful as it was, and kind of like a clock, he wound it up, and then he just set it there, and he just lets the world turn, and as he watches, he's like, hey, my work here is done, and he just lets it happen. Free will, you know, we just kind of have free will to do what we want, and God's like, no, that's not how it works. If you have free will, it's because I gave it to you, and if I gave you free will, then I can decide if any given time to step in and take that freedom away and do what I want to do because, you know, I kind of like made the place and I run the show around here. But what we hear about here is we hear of a God who gets involved. He intervenes when he needs to. He interferes whether we want him to or not. The God we discover is an incredible God who just, he gets involved. Now, we just looked at like three basic different, you know, little things here that tells us some incredible stuff about God. Now, don't worry, this is not a rabbit trail. But here is something we really need to discover that will help you to pray with boldness. And that's this. The Bible, which is kind of where we get all this information about God, the Bible is not just a personal guidebook. It's not like the Bible is not a field guide for life, if you will. And whenever something happens, you just kind of, you know, look up whatever God said, you know. Oh, man, I'm having a, you know, I'm trying to decide how I should respond to my friend on Facebook. So what words should I use? Look up in the index for how to respond to Facebook. Oh, yeah, that's found right here in page 776. Jesus said, when you're on Facebook, you should, you know, you're not going to find that in here. Now, the Bible has wisdom to make better choices and to, you know, to live life. There's really practical stuff here, but you're not going to find on every page of the Bible a practical piece of information that directly relates to your life. That's not the intention of the Bible. I mean, you may have heard it said before, the Bible, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible is basic instructions before leaving Earth. Okay, now I get it. It's cute. It's a nice little acronym. It's kind of helpful. At the same time, it's kind of not helpful because how many of us regularly plow into things without reading the instructions? And if you're a guy, even more so, and you won't even admit it when you read the instructions, because usually we get into the instructions when we've already screwed up putting the refrigerator together and we figure out how do we put the door on, not backwards, then I go to the instructions. And so if the Bible is the instruction manual for life, that's not even, I mean, that's just not even what it was intended to be. Although there's really good instructions, here's a better way to see the Bible, and here's why reading your Bible is so important. Have you ever read a book, and at the end of the book, you feel like, I'm kind of sad the book is over because I've spent some time getting to know this character in the book. They kind of feel like a friend of mine. This is the book of God. Amen. And on every page of this book, you may not find practical instruction for life, but on every page of this book, you will discover something about God, the main character, who's also the main character in the universe and in life, if we'll let him be. The Bible is written to show us God, to tell us about God, to help us discover who God is, to get to know the character of God. And so that's why when people tell me, well, the Bible, yeah, I've read that through, I'm good to go. The Bible isn't the kind of thing you just read through once and you're good, because you haven't read it at this time in your life. And you may have read it several times through, but your life has never intersected this passage of Scripture with what you're dealing with right now. And what I've discovered is that as life goes on, there are new things about God that I didn't even know or need to know earlier, but at this point in my life, with what I'm dealing with now, I discover something about God's character that is brand new that I never saw before. In the same passage of Scripture I could have read 20 times over, and all of a sudden there's something new about who God is. That is because the Bible is not just an instruction book for life, but it is the book of God. And reading our Bible and spending time with our Bible helps us to discover the character of God and the personality of God. Now think of that word character for a moment. You have friends and you have family. And the more you get to know them, the more you discover their character. Maybe you have a friend in your life who you and a few others would label their character, well, you might attach the label gossipy to their character. Not saying any names, but you know, you might have someone in your life like that. And if you do, because you know that that's their character, you're careful with what you say around them, aren't you? Because you know that's their character. And you wish it wasn't so, but until that's not part of their character, you're going to watch what you say. At the same time, if you have someone in your life and their character is very strong and great, and you would attach the label honest to their character, then you can know that if they have a car at the end of their driveway with a for sale sign in it, that you can be confident that you buy that car from them. They're gonna tell you everything that's wrong with it. They're not trying to hide anything or trick you because their character has shown them to be an honest, trustworthy person. It's part of their character. So here's where the Bible comes in. The more you read your Bible and the more you get to know God's character, the more confidence you can have when you're talking to God. Just like the better you get to know your friend's character, the more confidence you can have in how to act and how to talk around them, the better you get to know God, the more confidence you can have when talking with Him, which is what we do in prayer. Let me just kind of illustrate how this works, okay? Let's go back to the scriptures we already read. So Matthew chapter 7, it's the first one, right? And Jesus says to us, "How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him?" Okay, so you take that scripture and you read it, and you can just imagine this in your head. How could you pray based on this scripture? Well, if you believe this, and you go to God and you say, "God, You are a good father, and You give good gifts to Your children. God, I believe that." Now, let's say that you need a new car. And the car you have needs lots of repairs. It's time to find a new car. You've been looking for a new car, can't find one in your price range. And you go to God and say, "God, You are a good father, and You give good gifts to Your children. And God, You know how much we need a car right now. And so I pray that You would provide the right car for the right price. And You are a father, and as Your child, I come to You asking You to provide just the right car." Do you see how, based on what God has already told you about Himself, you can pray with so much more boldness and confidence than just a generic, "God, I need a car, help"? Because you're basing your prayer, you're starting your prayer in what God has already told you about Himself. Excuse me. Let's go to the next one. Let's say that you find yourself in the middle of a lawsuit, and you didn't want to get into this lawsuit, but now you're just there, and you don't have a choice whether you're going to be in, and you're dealing with it, and it's stressful, and you have a lot to lose, and you're just, it's so much stress and anxiety in your life. And then you discover this scripture in Isaiah 48:13. Where God says, "My own hand laid the foundations of the earth, and My right hand spread out the heavens." Well, if that's true, and we believe it is, how could you pray? How could you talk to God? You might go to God and say, "God, You are bigger and stronger than anything on this earth. And God, if You can lay the foundations of the earth, I'm pretty sure You can take care of me in the middle of this lawsuit. And no matter what happens, You can take care of me after it's all over. So God, I come to You because You are bigger and You are stronger. I'm going to place this in Your big, strong hands." How about the third one we mentioned, Daniel chapter 2? You got a situation at work, and there is a supervisor who you just cannot imagine who on earth ever would have hired them to be a supervisor, but somehow they got the job, as incompetent as they are. You're wondering if they even have a brain, but somebody did, and they have the job. And then you discover this scripture where Daniel says, "God, He deposes kings and He raises up others." And you pray about it, right? And you're like, "Lord, You raise up kings and You depose others. I pray that You would depose my supervisor because that's what he, you know." No, don't pray that way, okay? That's not boldness in prayer. That's foolishness trying to, no. Here's what you do. And if that's true, you say, "God, I believe that You get involved in human affairs. God, I believe that You're not just sitting back watching this whole thing happen. I believe that You get involved. And so, God, I pray that You would get involved in this situation with my supervisor. And Lord, if I'm the one who needs to change or be out of there, Lord, You know what's best. But Lord, You get involved, and I pray that You would get involved in this situation with my supervisor." You see, you can already imagine God just kind of coming right in those meetings, working in that situation. Why? Because you are basing your prayer on what you already know about God. This is how we pray with boldness. You allow what you know about God to give you confidence in God, which allows you to pray with boldness. How about another scripture? We're going to do a couple of more, and then we're going to close today by actually praying ourselves. Because, you know, we can't just talk about prayer. We've got to pray together. But a couple more just to see how this works, okay? How about Psalm chapter 50, verse 10? We read this. "For every animal of the forest is Mine," God says, "and the cattle on 1,000 hills. So you may have heard this phrase before. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. It's you know, It actually comes from the Bible. That's where it comes from, right there. God says, I own the cattle on a thousand hills. So how do you allow this to let you pray with confidence and boldness? You go to the Lord. You say, God, your resources are not limited. Would you provide for my whatever? Maybe some of you right now, you're in a need. You have a need that needs to be provided for, and you know that you don't have enough money to provide for that need. You know, based on the scripture, I know this sounds kind of weird, but I've been known to pray like, God, you said that you already own the cattle on a thousand hills, and here's my need over here. God, could you send a few of those head of cattle to market and just, you know, divert those funds right over here? You can do it. I believe you can. And guess what? God meets those needs. We pray with boldness based on what we know about God's character because of what he's already revealed to us of who he is. One more until we all pray together. John chapter 8, verse 58. Oh, I love this scripture. It's wonderful. Jesus, in this moment of boldness, he says, very truly, I tell you, Jesus said, before Abraham was born, I am. Now, to the grammar geeks, and I'm one of those, we look at that and we're like, man, Jesus needs like a grammar lesson, right? He should have said, before Abraham was born, I was. If we're going to talk past tense, Jesus is like, no, here's how I roll. I can talk about the past in the present tense. That's how great I am. And you're like, whoa, mind blown, Jesus. Jesus is like, yeah, pretty cool, huh? That ought to give you some confidence when we pray. And so you're going through a situation right now and you need some wisdom. And your grandma gave you some really great wisdom because she has lots of experience and she gives great wisdom. She's been around a long time. She gives great wisdom. Jesus is like, I can give you even more wisdom than your grandma can give you because I've been around even longer. And you go to God in prayer. You say, God, you've been around for a long time. God, you've watched millennia of human behavior. If there's anyone who has great wisdom, just based on what you've observed, it's you, God. God, you've been around a long time, and I need some of your wisdom right now. Guess what? The Bible tells us that one of God's favorite things to do is give us wisdom. He loves it when we come and ask for wisdom based on what we know about God. We pray based on that foundation. If you want to pray with boldness, start not with your request, not with your questions, but start with who you believe God is. Start with who you believe is God's character. And as much as you know about God, you start with that and you give praise and glory and say, God, you've told me that you are this. And so based on who you've said you are, God, I come to you and I ask boldly. If God's revealed who he is, you can pray based on who he is and you can pray with boldness and you can pray with confidence. So it's time for us to pray together. We're going to practice some of this. Wherever you are in your faith, I'm going to invite the worship team. They're going to come back and provide some kind of music in the background so we can pray. No matter where you are in your spiritual journey, you know something about God. You believe something about God. And so whatever you believe in God, based on that, I want you to pray based on what you believe. I'm going to put a couple scriptures up here that are really inspiring scriptures that tell us of who God is, and I'm going to encourage you today. I just believe these scriptures are going to connect with the need that you brought in on your heart and mind today. And I'm going to invite you to pray and to pray with boldness and confidence based on who God has told us that he is. So here we go. Let's pray and seek the Lord together. The first scripture we're going to look at comes from the prophet Jeremiah. Read this out loud with me, would you? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. What do you think of that truth? God says, I have plans for you. No kidding. God has plans for you. And those are good plans, not plans to hurt you or harm you. God says, my plans for you are for good. I have plans to give you hope. I have plans to give you a future. All right, now whatever you're going on, whatever's going on in your own life, I want you to bow your heads and let's pray and let's seek the Lord today. And I want you to seek him with boldness based on this promise. Here we go. We all pray. Wherever you are, you pray and seek the Lord. God, I believe you have a plan for my life. God, I look forward to seeing your plans in motion. God, thank you that your plans are for good. Thank you that your plans include blessing and not cursing. Thank you that your plans are for a good future for my life. And so, God, I pray. Oh, God, I pray for the person who has a really big decision they're trying to make right now. And they've got to make the decision this week. And they come to you even now wondering what to do. God, affirm to them that you've got great plans, plans that are good and plans for a great future for their life. Lord, based on what you've said, we come to you. We ask for your wisdom. Lord, show us what to do. Give us just enough of a glimpse of the plan that you have for us so that we can make the right decision and go into the future that you've provided for us. Oh, God, we seek you today. All right, you just keep praying. Keep seeking the Lord. This is the prayer that's really connecting with your heart. You just keep seeking God today. Maybe this word from Jesus is really what you need to hear today. Matthew chapter 10, verse 30. Jesus says, even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. That's how much God knows you. That's how much God knows the details of your life. I don't even know why God would need to know how many hairs we have, but Jesus said he does. And if that's an important enough detail for him to know about you, then the burden you're carrying is far greater. He cares about that too. Take that word of scripture. Pray that today. Pray boldly based on this. Jesus, you told us that the hairs on our head are numbered. And so, Lord, you know about this other detail in my life, this other thing going on in my life. Lord, you know more about it than I do. So, God, I seek you this morning. God, if you would know us well enough that you know the hairs on our head, then God, there's a great amount of protection there. There's great affirmation. Lord, I pray for the person here today who's wondering if anybody in the world even knows that they exist, or if they're just kind of living alone and lonely. Oh, God, I pray that you would use this word of truth to fill our hearts with affirmation that you know us, that you care about us, that you love us, that we are yours, that every detail in our lives is important to you. Oh, God, for the person who needs your affirmation today, bring it. Bring it by way of the words of Jesus who spoke these words of hope to us. God, thank you for teaching us how to pray. And my prayer for all of us is that we would pray with boldness, even this week. God, that we would pray like we have never prayed before, because we're trusting not in our prayers and not in our faith, but in you. We're trusting in your character. We're trusting in you, oh God, and your greatness. We are yours. And as we conclude our time of worship, God, we're yours today. As we go home, as we go to work, do whatever we have to do this week, oh God, I pray that you teach us to pray with boldness and stay close to you based on who you are, your great character. We are yours. We're yours, Lord Jesus. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's sing together one more time the song of worship that says, God, you, it's all about you, and you are great. And we're going to praise you. We're going to live for you. The worship team is going to lead us. Let's continue to pray. Let's continue to seek him. Help us seek him, guys.